Please take your Bibles, and we're going to start today. We've been back and forth in the Old Testament enough, and we're going right back there today. But I want to read some verses of Scripture that may help you to remember and understand why that we are back in Exodus and why we're talking about the tabernacle. And we did at the funeral, I always give the plan of salvation when I have the opportunity to have the funeral. I did not have this when I was a pallbearer, but at the same time, the two preachers that did the preaching covered the gospel tremendously and even made the statement that she must have been a godly woman, because there were four gospel preachers at the funeral, and so we had a good time. And so sad to say, so many that you attend today, they're fine, they're in a better place, there's no pain, and they weren't saved at all. This was totally different than that, and what a joy to be there. We're going to start with Hebrews chapter 8. We're going to read in the 8th chapter, the 9th chapter, and the 10th chapter, just a few verses in each one to kind of help you to see and think about while I'm reading this, because if we were not studying the tabernacle and have an understanding, and that's the reason we keep going back through it again, you cannot understand the book of Hebrews if you have not had a study of the Old Testament, and especially of Exodus and Leviticus as well. And so I'm just going to read some verses of Scripture here to help you connect the two. Hebrews chapter 8, beginning to read with this verse 1 and 2. Now the things which we have spoken, this is the sum. We have such a high priest who is set on the right hand of the throne of the majesty in heaven, a minister of the sanctuary and of the true tabernacle, which the Lord pitched and not man. And so that makes the first connection. Now let's go on to chapter 9. Just flip over one page. Chapter 9. And this time we're going to read 12 verses in this chapter. Hebrews chapter 9, then verily the first covenant had also ordinances of divine service and a worldly sanctuary. For there was a tabernacle made the first, wherein was the candlestick and the table and the showbread, which is called the sanctuary. And after the second veil, the tabernacle, which is called the holiest of all, which had the golden censer and the ark of the covenant overlaid round about with gold, wherein was the golden pot, had the manna, and Aaron's rod that budded, and the tablets of the covenant. And over it the cherubims of the glory shadowing the mercy seat, of which we cannot now speak particularly. Now, when these things were thus ordained, the priest went always into the first tabernacle, accomplishing the service of God. But into the second went the high priest alone once every year, not without the blood, which he offered for himself for the heirs of the people. That would have been the Day of Atonement. And the Holy Ghost, this signifying that the way unto the holiest of all was not yet made manifest, while as the first tabernacle was yet standing, which was a figure for the time then present, in which were offered both gifts and sacrifices, that could not make him that did the service perfect as pertaining to the conscience, which stood only in meats and drinks and diverse washings and cardinal ordinances imposed on them until the time of Reformation. But Christ, being come a high priest of good things to come, by a greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands, that is to say, not of this building, neither the blood of goats and of calves, but of his own blood, he entered in once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. Let's go on to verse 23 and 24 of this same chapter, Hebrews chapter 9, verse 23. It was therefore necessary that the patterns of things in the heavens should be purified with these, but the heavenly things themselves with a better sacrifices than these. For Christ is not entered into the holy places made with hands, which are the figures of the true, but into heaven itself now to appear in the presence of God for us. Let's go on to chapter 10. Beginning to read with verse 1. For the law, having a shadow of good things to come, and not the very image of the things, can never, with those sacrifices which they offered year by year continually, make the comers thereunto perfect. For then would they not have ceased to be offered, because that worshippers once purged should have had no more conscience of sins. But in those sacrifices there is a remembrance again made of the sins every year. For it is not possible that the blood of bulls and of goats should take away sin. Wherefore, when he cometh into the world, he says, sacrifice and offering thou wouldst not, but a body thou hast prepared me. Now one more section of scripture, and that is 19, verse 19 of the 10th chapter. Having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus. You can see by me reading these scripture verses that if you didn't have an understanding of the tabernacle, what would that mean to you? The blood of bulls and goats and the offering, and having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus. You wouldn't know what that is either. And then verse 20, by a new and living way which he hath consecrated for us through the veil, that is to say his flesh. And having a high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful that promised. And let us consider one another to provoke and to love and to good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as ye see the day approaching. Now, I wanted to read those verses of Scripture so we can reconnect with what we're doing here with the tabernacle. And let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, thank you that we have these precious scripture verses. And I thank you, Father, for the opportunity to study the book of Hebrews and then go back into Exodus and Leviticus and enjoy those. But Father, we understand that many folks never touch the book of Hebrews. They don't look to the book of Hebrews because they believe it's too difficult to learn and to understand. Well, the reason, Father, that is because they are not taught the Old Testament. We need to educate ourselves in your precious word, and the only way we can do that is to open your precious book and read it and let the wonderful teacher, the Holy Spirit, to direct us and teach us through your word. So thank you, Father, for these verses of Scripture that you've given us, and thank you that you have not just taken away the Old Testament from us, that we would be ignorant to these things and not be able to understand what you're telling us. Thank you, Father. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, in looking at those verses of Scripture in Hebrews, now we're going to go back to Exodus chapter 30. One end of the Scripture to the other. And last week we read from verse 17 down through verse 21, and I'll just read a couple of the beginning verses there. Exodus chapter 30, verse 17, "And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Thou shalt also make a laver of brass, and his foot also of brass to wash withal, and thou shalt put it between the tabernacle of the congregation and the altar, thou shalt put water therein." And so as we begin the study here, we need to understand that here is the entrance. The fence is 7.5 feet high around it. It has posts of brass, and it also then has kind of a connector of silver that latches this drapery, this blanket, this curtain that goes around the outside. But the first thing we come to is the brazen altar. Brass stands for judgment. And that's what happened. And so we could take and put a beautiful cross right there, because that's where Jesus died for us, paid the price. And as we've just read, we do not need to come every day. We don't need to come day after day after day and offer a lamb or even a pigeon or a dove or something that is presented to the priest so that he can offer this sacrifice to take my sin away for that day. And they did it day after day, year after year, having to bring those offerings in because Jesus had not finished the work of Calvary. But we have the picture of this for us to see. And there are two things with the tabernacle that we must see. Number one is a picture of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the reason we spend time in it. It is also the picture of the life of the believer. We have this as well. And so there's two purposes of it, so that we see the Lord Jesus. And the second purpose is that you find out where you're at. And it's kind of a roadmap for each one of us to stay online. We need to realize that, yes, first of all, before we do anything else, we've got to come to the brazen laver, to the cross of Calvary, and accept the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ to take our sin away. We're a rotten, filthy sinner. We have to start there. If we start there and say, "Jesus, please, that you forgive me of my sin," and he will, and please save me, he does. And then the beautiful life of a believer begins. And so then the next thing we come to is this laver. It also is brass, and as we have already studied and found, that it came from the mirrors of the Israeli women. That they brought this brass, and they polished this brass. And it has two levels, an upper level and a lower level, one to wash the feet and one to wash the hands. They were constantly ministering in the tabernacle. And so in order to do that, and as we read, I did not read that far, but we read it last week, and that is that if they did not wash, they would die. They would die. If they attempted to go into the holy place, which is this room, this and down here, if they would attempt to come in, they would die. If they attempted to come back and continuing to minister and offer sacrifices that folks brought in, they would die. Every time they had to wash, how many times did they have to wash? We're not told how many times they replaced the water. Who was involved with that? We don't know. We know it was one of the Levitical line that did it, because that's the only ones that was allowed in. But they somewhere along the line they would continue to cleanse this water, because when you would come you'd have to wash your hands and you would wash your feet. Now they would physically die if they would attempt to go into the holy place. Or if they would come back and offer a sacrifice, they would drop over dead if they did not wash. Well, it's the same thing that happens to us, only we don't spiritually die. We don't lose our salvation. But if we don't spend time at the laver, If we don't spend time in the Word of God, looking at our lives, looking at ourselves, then we become separated from God in fellowship. We do not have the joy. We don't have the walk. We don't have the power. We're not enjoying His wisdom that He hands down to us. We're losing that. And so in that respect, we're dying because we're not enjoying the love and the fellowship that God has for us to enjoy each and every day. That's what happens when we stop going to the brazen laver. We are not told the size of it. We are not told how much water it holds. We are just told that it is made of brass, and it came from the women's mirrors. A couple other things that we cannot forget, and that is that there are no chairs and there is no floor. So the whole time that they are in this work of offering sacrifices, going to the laver, and then going into the holy place, the first room of the tabernacle, as they're doing that, again, it's required that they wash. Couple reasons. Number one, their hands are bloody from offering the sacrifices, and also their feet are dirty because there is no floor. And it's a beautiful example of us, because when we're walking through this world, we get dirty. When you're at the workplace, sometimes the stories you hear that you don't want to hear, sometimes the language that you hear, the cursing that you don't want to hear, but it's there. And it's when it comes in, then if we're not careful, it brings us away from the Lord Jesus. The only way to get rid of that is to go into the Word of God and read the Word of God and study the Word of God and say, please, Lord, that you'll cleanse me, set me free from this world, because this world is not my home, as we've just read. But sometimes we kind of set up housekeeping in this world, and we become very comfortable with it, and we get used to where there was a movie out several years ago, and it was a Christian lady that had been saved for many years, and she said, "Have you seen that movie?" And we said, "No," and we weren't about to watch it because we knew, well, I know the language isn't very good, but the content's wonderful. Now, we need to be very careful, because as we listen to those things, then we also, it becomes part of, we need to be careful that we don't are taken in by this world. And I don't know how many times that she watched that movie. I couldn't believe it. We couldn't watch 5 minutes of it. Filth, and only the language part of it, and which was not necessary, but it was just part of it. And so be careful. And the only way, because if you continue to hear that and listen to that, and when we're in the business world, and when we're out in the area, you're at a ball game, you're here or there, and you hear these things, and they're there. That's the world. But see that you come home and you cleanse yourself. Come home and open up that precious Bible and say, Lord, please, all the stuff I heard today, please help me to rid my mind and my life of those things. Set me free, Lord. And so that's what happens at the laver. And so we need the cleansing of the Word. Let's go, hold your spot there and back in Exodus, but we're going to go all the way to the opposite end, all the way to 1 John. Chapter 1, verse 9. 1 John, chapter 1, verse 9. Now, this is not concerning our salvation. You've got to understand that we need to rightly divide the word. This here is speaking to believers. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Now, that is not concerning your sin that you were born with, because if you're born again, if you came by faith to the Lord Jesus Christ, that is gone. It's the filth and the things that we pick up through this life. And we need that cleansing. We need the cleansing. Again, I spoke that the labor has no dimensions, and no amount of water is told us. And the purpose of that is because it is limitless when it comes to God's forgiveness. Once we come by faith to the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, let's go, you're still back there in 1 John. Let's go to John, the Gospel of John. The Gospel of John. He also wrote 1st and 2nd, 3rd John and Revelation. But we're going to go to the 13th chapter. And this maybe kind of helps you to understand. John chapter 13, verse 1. Some people have trouble with this these verses of Scripture, but they're not. They're simple and easy for us to understand. John chapter 13, verse 1. Now, before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour was come, that he should depart out of this world unto the Father, having loved his own which were in the world, he loved them unto the end. The supper being ended, and the devil having now put into the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray him, Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands, and that he was come from God and went to God, he raised from supper, laid aside his garment, and took a towel and girded himself. After that he poured water into a basin, and began to wash the disciples' feet, and to wipe them with the towel wherewith he was girded. Then cometh to Simon Peter. Peter said unto him, Lord, dost thou wash my feet? He didn't want Jesus to do that. And Jesus answered and said unto him, What I do thou knowest not now, but thou shalt know hereafter. And Peter said to him, Thou shalt never wash my feet. And Jesus answered him, If I wash thee not, thou hast no part with me. We're between the brazen altar and the laver. And the day that you trust in Jesus, you see, Peter saved. And we're going to see that here pretty shortly in reading this text. Peter saved. But because we're in this world, and the explanation of being getting dirty connects with our feet. And so the filth of this world, it catches us. And we need to be washed. We need to be cleansed. Jesus is giving that example right here. But Peter says, no, you're not going to wash my feet, Lord. And Jesus said, if you don't let me wash your feet, you got no part of me. In other words, fellowship is broken. We're not talking about salvation. Peter saved. We're talking about fellowship. And that's what happens if we don't go to the Word of God for our cleansing, to help the Lord direct us and guide us each and every day. All right, let's see what else he has to say here. Verse 9, Simon Peter said unto him, Lord, not my feet only, but also my hands and my head. In other words, Lord, wash me all over. But Jesus said to him, He that is washed needeth not save to wash his feet, but is clean every whit, and ye are clean, but not all. Now, what that is telling us, Jesus has said, Peter, you're saved. You don't need to be washed all over. You've been washed all over. You're born again. You're saved. You've trusted in Jesus. But we do need to wash your feet because the filth of this world just continues to collect and it breaks the fellowship. And that's what that verse of Scripture is telling us. One more Scripture while we're back here in the New Testament. Let's go to Titus. I went to Jude. That's where we're at on Wednesday night. Both of them are very big books. Titus chapter 3, verse 5. Not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us by the washing of regeneration and the renewing of the Holy Ghost. Now that word renewing there means to total renovation, to make new after decay, to restore to the first state. So it brings us back to where we were before we were lost. And so that tells us that we're not saved by any works. We're saved by and through the mercy of the Lord Jesus Christ. Then the washing is necessary. So, back to Exodus. The altar is a picture of the cross. That's where we're saved. The laver is a picture of separation where we're washed by the water. It keeps us into fellowship with the Lord. It continues to help us to grow each day. It gives us a desire to come and be together and study God's Word together, and not only do it by ourselves as well. And then we come, as we move into the tabernacle, and you see the kind of the unit on the bottom there. That's the table of showbread. Now, there are seven articles in there, and now that we have entered through the proper door, we have been saved at the altar, we have been washed at the laver. Now and only now are we ready for this the fellowship that we have. And so it's so important that we see that. Now, there are seven articles of furniture in the tabernacle, two in the outside, the courtyard, the brazen altar, and the laver. And then we come into the holy place. There are three there, and there are two in the Holy of Holies. And so we have the altar and the laver, and then we go into the tabernacle, and then we have the three items there, and those three items in the lower picture here. This is the table of showbread. This is the lampstand. And this is the incense altar. And then we have two in the Holy of Holies. This is a room that they only went into once a year on the Day of Atonement. And this is the Ark of the Covenant. And the mercy seat is placed. The bloody mercy seat is on the top of the Ark of the Covenant. And so that's the pieces of furniture. There's seven. Seven in the Word of God is always a number of completeness or perfection. And so God doesn't do anything else strange to that. He gives us seven pieces of furniture in this tabernacle. And it not only does the number seven speak of completeness and perfection, but it also tells us of the perfection of the provisions, what God has done for us in saving us. He has done it all. He not only saves us, but he keeps us, he feeds us, he cleanses us each and every time as we move. So again, the altar's the cross, the laver's the separation, the table of showbread is a place of fellowship where we feed upon the Word of God. The lampstand has two purposes. There is a curtain before you go into this building. This building is 45 foot long, 15 foot wide, and 15 foot high, and there is a curtain in the front that allows no light inside. And so when we go in to feed upon the Word of God, understand that that's the only way that you're going to understand the Word of God is by the light of the Lord Jesus Christ. And in the bowls on this lampstand is oil. And the oil in the Word of God always stands for the Holy Spirit. And so here we have the light, the purpose of the Holy Spirit through the Lord Jesus Christ to see and to study and to fellowship over His Word. And that's what the bread of life, as we come and feed upon those loaves of bread, they would come in. First they come to the altar, next they come to the laver, and next they come into the holy place, the first room. It's 30 foot by 15 foot. There's a 15 by 15 square in the back of it there that is where the Ark of the Covenant and the mercy seat's located. So as we look at this now and we see as we come in and we have the light to feed upon the Word of God, and we need to understand that we cannot understand the Word of God unless we have the Holy Spirit. He has to teach us. He has to show us His way. And it's a very small table, and then the lampstand, and then the golden incense altar or prayer altar is that little tiny box right before the last veil. And we'll get to that, but before we do, we're going to move around just a little bit. We're just the same as out of time as always. But remember what's on the roof. The roof from inside out is the fine twined linen, all embroidered with purple and scarlet, and there's beautiful cherubims embroidered, just gorgeous ceiling. And then next is the goat hair. Now, that speaks of the Day of Atonement, and we're not going to take time right now to explain that. Then the next is the ram's skin dyed red, and we think back to Abraham and Isaac when they found the ram in the thicket. And then the last one is a badger skin or porpoise hide, and it is the full protection from all storms. Jesus gives us all the protection we need forever. Plus, it also is something for the lost. We're inside. We're looking up at this beautiful embroidered ceiling. The lost, the person that has not come by way of the brazen altar, not come by the laver, and is unable to come in, they're on the outside looking at this kind of a dull, average-looking thing. That's what people see when they see Jesus. That's the reason that we need to help them with the gospel, because what they physically see with their natural eyes is not something that draws them. It has to come from the heart. It has to come from the Holy Spirit to speak to their heart. Now, next we come to the walls. Now I'm going to just touch on it because again we're out of time. We're going to start with chapter 26 and the 15th verse next week, and we're going to look. The walls are 15 foot tall. They're 2 1/4 feet in width this way, and it's acacia wood overlaid with gold. And not only do we have the beautiful embroidered ceiling, we have the gold table of showbread, we have the gold lampstand, we have the gold incense altar, and now we have a 15-foot wall of polished gold, acacia weight overlaid with gold. Gold stands for deity. The wood inside stands for humanity. Again, beautiful picture of the Lord Jesus, completely man, completely God. And so we have this beautiful picture. Now, can you imagine this side wall, the whole side, 30 foot long of this golden wall. The other side, 30 foot long, a golden wall. And in the front, we've got a curtain here that keeps the natural light out. But the important thing that I want you to dwell on between now and next week, and that is these gold walls are nothing unless it has a foundation. And the foundation is 100-pound silver blocks. Our foundation, the Silver in the Word of God stands for atonement. It stands for the blood. You wonder why these churches and places take the blood out of the hymn books, why they don't preach about the precious blood of the Lord Jesus. It's because they have nothing. Because everything, our whole foundation, is built upon the blood of the Lord Jesus as this tabernacle. This whole thing is sitting on this. And every individual that wanted to have a part of it gave a half a shekel. David decided a few years later to count the people. God said, you count the people, you collect a half a shekel of silver. Because that's the connection. The blood is the connection. He didn't. 70,000 men died. Because he did not remember the half a shekel. Now, every person, about 35 cents worth. There was nobody that couldn't give. They were told before they left Egypt, to you go to your master and you collect their jewels and their gold and their silver and they'll give it to you. What a miracle. But if they decided not to, if they decided out of fear, not out of faith, and not to go to the master and ask, they would not have had any gold or silver or precious stones to give in the building of the tabernacle. You see, it started in, by faith back there. By faith, they went inside their house when the death angel come over. Was the blood going to save me? By faith. Go to your Egyptian master and ask him for the gold and the silver that he's got. What are you going to say? You've got to be kidding me. But those that walk by faith receive the bounty. See, it's no different today. We must walk by faith. And we need to understand that this picture of the Lord Jesus Christ, that building, is setting on the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the foundation. It's got to be your foundation too. Let's close in prayer. Father, thank you for your precious word. Thank you for the opportunity to look at this building and see the Lord Jesus. And then also see our life, because we need many times some kind of a plan set before us that helps us not to get sidetracked, not to kind of go off the rails. We need to continue down that road of growing and of faithfulness and of service. And there's a way to do it. And that way is set before us with this plan, and that's the very reason why so few people have ever heard or understood, because the devil doesn't want us to know about it. Thank you, Father. Just speak to all the hearts, all of our hearts here today. Show us your way and will. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.